Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The elephant in the room is, you're saying, Sam, it's 8 o'clock mountain time. What are you talking about? The first hour, that's the second hour, isn't it? No longer true. We have now moved Liberty Roundtable Live to be 1 hour later. So instead of it being 7 to 9 a.m. Mountain Time, 9 to 11 Eastern, it's now 8 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 to noon Eastern Time. You say, Sam, why the change? Answer, because I need more sleep is one of the reasons. After COVID, ladies and gentlemen, I just have so many, what do you want to call it, long-haul COVID symptoms to where I've got to get more sleep so that I can try to completely beat this thing. It is disaster, folks. This weapon, which we'll get to later in the broadcast, this bioweapon is just absolutely out of control. And we beat it. We're not dead. They tried to kill me and Scott Bradley, but we survived nevertheless. But, man, it's brutal. That's one reason. There's a lot of other reasons related to travel, related to the West Coast, the show being so early, related to mountain time zone and travel and all kinds of other things. There's a lot of reasons. There also is a reason that we do the TV show, simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live every Tuesday morning. And when it was the second hour, because the TV folks don't have news at the top of the hour, there's just no scramble time between the hours. So this will let us set up a little bit better for the TV show on Tuesday mornings as well. And hopefully the goal will be eventually to expand to more TV. Okay? But we've got to switch the hours to make that happen, because there's got to be time to get set up and then transfer from TV to radio and everything else. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. A lot of great things coming up, though, make no mistake. Now, last Saturday, we did a rebroadcast, partly so that we could make all these transitions, and partly because I was out of town in Phoenix, Arizona. I went to an event called The Pit, which I'll explain to you later in the broadcast, hopefully if we get time. And it was an incredible event, and I've got a lot of update and news and information for you regarding that. But Friday's show, we had on Ken Cromar with us. And, of course, Ken Cromar's been abused by the IRS, and now his local government's abusing him. Please support Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS. If it can happen to Barbie and Ken, and now we have to add if it can happen to the former President Donald Trump, it can certainly happen to you. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com to learn more about that. But we talked about the video Barbie and Ken got hit by a 75-member SWAT team. It only took like 30 to go into Donald Trump and Mar-a-Lago. It took 75 to go after Ken. Wow. AG Merrick Garland says he's the one that approved the raid, but he doesn't say who gave him authority or who asked him, or, you know, he doesn't go into any detail. He just said, I did it. We talked about how Fox acted to the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. We talked about the GOP railing against IRS funding and the Inflation Reduction Act. But I got a question. Why are the Republicans now using the raid on Mar-a-Lago to literally fundraise and get elected? All they say is, wow, this is criminal. This is shameful. Hey, elect us and we'll fix it. Well, if it's criminal and shameful and all that you claim, unprecedented, everything else, you don't have time to wait till November and pray on a wing and a prayer that you get elected to fix it. You've got to deal with criminal activity now. How do we know the government hasn't planted fake evidence against Donald Trump? The answer, we don't. We talked about Delta Force seizes IRS weapons, similarities to the Barbie and Ken fiasco. What? Is Barbie and Ken more dangerous than Donald Trump? What is it about Barbie and Ken that makes them so dangerous, etc.? We talked about that with Ken. Second hour, of course, we had Dr. Bradley with us, freedomsrisingsun.com. And we talked about Attorney General Merrick Garland, was sworn in as the 86th Attorney General on March 11th, 2021. And now this guy controls the 115,000 government employees. Yeah. So I asked the real question, could Donald Trump be in on the staged raid? Could this be the ultimate false flag? Could this be the Hegelian dialectic pulled off to a T? Move over, Newt. Watch Donald Trump propose 18-point contract with America. Think about that, folks. It's very strange. I don't know if Donald's a friend or not, but I know this. It's very, very, very weird. The two narratives, and this is what we'll get into in seconds with today's show, the two narratives that were being told by the mainstream press, totally 180 degrees. How can both be true? Answer, they can't. We talked about Border Patrol agents have encountered a record number of almost 2 million illegals crossing the border. Illegal border crossings are out of control. But again, you know, you look at Donald Trump and you say he did a lot of good, didn't he? Yes. Okay. But how, on the heels of how much good he did, has 99% of it been unwound? We lost more liberty under Donald Trump than probably any president in America's history. Didn't we? With a lockdown, with the vaccine mandates. I mean, when in America have you not been able to go to church? Except for under the Donald Trump administration. Not even Biden has crossed that line yet, right? Isn't that interesting? Of course, it wasn't Donald. It was the governors, don't you know? It was just those bad governors, the state threat problem. What we need is more federal government, less state government. See? See how the Hegelian dialectic works? Pretty soon it's like, oh, we need less federal government, more state government. Now it's like, oh, man, the governors are out of control. I sure wish we could go with Donald. He wasn't doing that. But everything leads to more government in the Hegelian dialectic. Do you get it? Do you read me? And now you've got everything with Donald is unprecedented action by somebody somewhere that takes us to an unknown territory. But what is known is the unknown. I'm sorry, what is known in the new, quote, unknown, uncharted territory is the supreme law of the land has checks and balances, and the supreme law works if we obey it. But in my opinion, when I look at Donald and when I look at the liberals and conservatives or left and right, the Republicans and Democrats, neither of them are embracing the supreme law of the land. It's just like which wind-blowing, you know, fiasco do you want to embrace? Neither are truthful. Neither are legal and lawful. I digress. That is the recap of Friday's show. Saturday was an incredible event. I'll give you a quick update on that. We'll dig into that over the next several days in more detail. Bottom line is we met at what's called the pit. Why do they call it the pit? Because in scripture it talks about when the wicked dig a pit for us, that pit will be reversed and apply to them. So we went to the pit in Phoenix with True the Vote and others, and we had an incredible one-day briefing on what Greg Phillips and Kathleen Engelbrecht have discovered as they've dug into election fraud. And the bottom line, what they've discovered is this, folks. The communist Chinese are in charge of our elections and are at the helm of a worldwide global election control mechanism. Yes, it's provable. What is it? A professor came over from communist China to America. He quickly became a naturalized citizen. He then started a company that controls really election systems in America. How, you may ask? Well, the servers running the whole thing are in the communist nation of China on the Chinese internet backbone. They run a database called Mongo. And that database is what controls all election records and information. They use this to control elections, folks, in a variety of ways. Okay? And I'll get into it in more detail. But the bottom line is when Engelbrecht and Phillips discovered all this, they brought all this to the attention of the FBI. The FBI and the Justice Department acted like they were working with Greg and Catherine. But they eventually turned on them and called Greg and Catherine the criminals. And it turns out the FBI and the Justice Department is in bed with the communist Chinese promoting and advocating for election fraud. They released this. They named the companies, the people, and they're working on a way for us to do more research into this. But there's simple ways you can validate a lot of what Catherine and Greg are saying. Simple ways. And I won't give you those ways right now because I got to organize all the information that I received. There's a lot to it. But suffice it to say, this is fairly provable. There's a lot of research going into it. And why are Greg and Catherine being looked at as the criminals right now? That's the biggest issue that we've got going. Bottom line is Greg and Catherine have kind of done an endpoint and said, hey, we got to cap this off. We've got to work on other things. We need the American people and media and researchers to really start to dig and get to the bottom of what the heck is going on here and see what we can do to expose it and do something about it. So, as you know, the government has had fusion centers for quite some time in America, especially after 9/11. They put together Homeland Security, an unconstitutional agency. The Republicans did it, don't you know? And they eventually created these fusion centers. There's about 81 of them across America. And these fusion centers act as a, quote, liaison or a clearinghouse of information between local law enforcement, FBI, government, state, federal, all these different levels, including their own favored third parties. Those are the ones that are doing some digging on us and have put together incredible dishonest dossiers regarding all of us. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, Greg and Catherine are creating a fusion center that will be used to act as the open solution. As a fusion center for us to report on them. Yeah, the one they're starting with is an election fusion center to report election fraud, to get sheriffs involved, and a whole lot more. It'll be called Open Inc. Anyway, I digress. I'll leave that alone for now. We've got a lot to talk about with regards to Donald Trump and more, but we will be following up on this in the next several days. It was an incredible conference, and I'll report on it. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live continues with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, in seconds on your radio.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Dr. Scott Bradley, welcome back, sir.
Good grief. The first hour is filled with a whole bunch of administrivia and recaps. People, I didn't realize how much you had to kind of remind everybody of how things are going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, you know what? That that is a serious issue. We do the recap because it does help people kind of keep up on a lot of what's going on. I normally don't get into such detail on the recap, but in this case, since I was out of town and everything else, we kind of did a little bit more than we usually do. Any quick comment on any recap item and or on the Greg Phillips and Catherine Engelbrecht stuff?
No, I'm interested, as everyone is, to see what they're bringing forth. The whole idea of dishonesty, of election fraud and everything like that can be very, very simply and easily resolved. by returning to the methodology we have used for centuries, literally centuries. And this new methodology that honestly, in my state, your state, our home state of Utah, is being fostered and encouraged by the Republican majority, a supermajority in Utah, of all of these automated methodologies by which fraud may be perpetrated upon the people. And they are absolutely death on backing off any of those things. They're absolutely committed completely, totally, and unequivocally to this idea that of the automation of the election process. And, you know, these ideas about, you know, mail-in ballots and so on, these open the door, drop-off boxes. If you don't vote in person, if you don't have someone in your voting precinct that's checking your identity, those kinds of things, they're not facilitating ease of voting. They're facilitating ease of defrauding. And in Utah, and I suspect all across the nation, we're finding that the Republican-led efforts to automate these things are every bit as complicit in this election fraud as what they claim the Democrats did in 2020 to steal that election. So people need to realize it's a simple solution. It worked for centuries. There's an auditable track. You can follow it back to the original source. It's so frustrating to me when I look at our local county officials, for example. I mean, you say, oh, this corruption, it has a trickle-down effect, if you will, right to the very, very, very heart of where the elections are held. And it's agnostic when it comes to which party is fostering it. It's the party in charge. It's a way that the party in charge stays in charge. And it's an incumbent protection policy generally. I know there's exceptions to that as whoever's pulling the levers and the strings, if you will, to their benefit. But the fact of the matter is everybody, every single soul, I don't care what political persuasion you are, should be in favor of election integrity. And those that currently sit in power are absolutely not in favor of that. And there may be some exceptions. I know. I have to sometimes temper myself a little bit. But by and large, the issue is it crosses party lines, and it has become kind of the way of stealing our last vestiges of liberty. All the years that I've spent speaking in regards to preserving liberty and restoring it and everything like that, there are many that have wanted to take to the streets that want violence and so on. I say, no, we've got two things that they didn't have back in 1776, and that is we have the vote and we have the Constitution. Both of those are becoming less and less of a sure thing. And it's time we restored those things so that we don't lose everything. And then the only option that comes available is what the American Founding Fathers resorted to when they had turned every stone. They had done everything they possibly could to retain their status as free men. English were free men. The commentaries on the laws of England, Blackstone talked extensively about the free men of England and how they had unalienable rights, and those things were protected. Well, they weren't being protected. They were being ignored. And if you read, like, for example, the Declaration of Independence on the central portion of it where the offenses of the king are enumerated, 27 offenses they use as justification for armed rebellion. They say, no, we've done everything we can. The king is guilty of all these things. And if you'll read that with an open heart and mind, you'll see that it reads like today's news today. You know, point 10 of the swarms of officers to eat out our substance, for example, and living under constitution, or at least being directed under law that's foreign to our constitutions. All of those things are happening, and they're happening on steroids right now. It's almost like a juggernaut. It's just rushing forward. It's a train off the tracks going off the cliff. I don't know how to put it, actually. But the point of the matter is, we as Americans have got to waken ourselves to a sense of our awful situation and start to recognize that those that represent us, they're closing all the doors. I mean, I'll just use another example. I know you probably got something to say, Sam, but I think back in the spring of 2020 when Utah legislature was called into special session a number of times in regards to their response to this so-called COVID pandemic. And of course, all of the things that happened, well, oh man, there's so much history we could give there. But one of the things they did is they took away legislatively, something they unconstitutionally did, the ability to hold responsible those that were basically administering these edicts upon the people. They gave them cover. They gave them immunity. This immunity is an un-American concept. And we've got to restore the idea that everybody's responsible for their actions, whether it's a physician or a large medical institution or it's a politician or it's a police officer, whomever it is, needs to be to recognize they will personally be held responsible. And you say, well, no, that's not the way it is. Yeah, it really is. That's the way it is. If you look at that declaration again, the king believed in the divine right of kings and the Declaration of Independence. That had been for centuries the idea that kings were upheld by God, and by golly, they couldn't do anything wrong. Their word was law. And the Americans said, no, your word is not law, and you will be held responsible. And so they declared that in the Declaration of Independence and said, we're going to hold the king responsible. They wrote that into the Constitution of the United States, you know, this impeachment process of how to hold people responsibility for those things that they perpetrated upon their fellow citizens. And then they said, okay, we can remove you from office, and then you can be criminally charged, indicted, and imprisoned if you violated these things that warrant that. And so this is this idea that anybody can be above it, anybody can be held harmless, is wrong. And when the Utah legislature legislatively created a hold harmless thing, an immunity thing for anybody that was responding to the COVID thing, it's un-American. And it's un-American what's happening with the vote. It's un-American what's happening with our budget. It's un-American what we're doing with wars and all the rumors of wars that are around the world. At every level, we are facing a complete crisis that it can be resolved very easily. I tell the story of when I was a six-year-old, I got lost, and I didn't know then. The first thing you do when you get lost is you sit down and you look at your back trail. You don't panic. We have a good back trail. It's well marked. We can find our way back to home base, if you will. But what we're doing right now, 18-point contract. Holy cow. The contract is the United States Constitution. Everyone that holds office is to uphold that. And what we've done as Americans, we turn a blind eye to all of these simple solutions and look for more government to solve it, whether it's fusion centers, more armed IRS agents to collect taxes, whatever. And we're sending that swarms of officers, armed, militarized officers against Americans. And it got passed through the reconciliation bill. Sam, you know what? Don't get me started. Maybe the first hour for me is a venting time. I don't know.
Oh, it's fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. And that is the point. And basically this effort with Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips highlights the reality at True the Vote. They're doing a phenomenal job. And they're highlighting this company called Connec. C-O-N-N-E-C-H. Connec. And they have a software product called Poll Chief. Connec, K-O-N-N-E-C-H, Connec. One of the softwares is called Poll Chief. We'll come back and talk about Mar-a-Lago, shall we? On your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Hadi Mutar, the 24-year-old man accused of stabbing writer Salman Rushdie, had no prior criminal history, and authorities said they have yet to determine a motive for the attack against the man who was targeted by Iran's leadership more than 30 years ago. Rushdie continues to improve after the attack. Another U.S. congressional delegation met with Taiwan's president in Taipei Monday, less than 2 weeks after Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit infuriated China's government. Senator Ed Markey, the Democrat from Massachusetts, is leading a five-member delegation. 1 year ago today marked the beginning of President Biden's decline with the American people, the fall of Kabul to the Taliban, and leaving enough weapons and equipment instantly made the Taliban one of the strongest militaries in the world, not to mention what it did to the women of Afghanistan after a taste of freedom. USA Radio News.
Make money doing what you love. It can be done. Matter of fact, it has been done. Consider the story of Jack London. He's one of the highest paid writers of all time. Authored The Call of the Wild, recently released as a blockbuster movie starring Harrison Ford. Jack grew up in a rough neighborhood in Oakland, poor, uneducated, and a school dropout. As a child, Jack fell in love with the idea of being a writer. The notion that an uneducated, dirt-poor school dropout from Oakland could someday be a published writer was insanity. You know the rest of the story, though. Jack London became one of the richest writers of all time. Discover Jack's secret that allows anyone of any income or educational level to make money doing what they love. Whatever it is you love more than anything else, let's make that your prosperous living. Go right now to discoveringjack.com. That's discoveringjack.com. His secret is free. Just go to discoveringjack.com. Discoveringjack.com.
President Biden is expected to announce a decision regarding student loan government buyout program in the coming weeks. Student loan pause moratorium ends August 31st. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis is not playing games with soft-on-crime DAs.
State Attorney Andrew Warren was waiting for a grand jury to issue indictments in two rape and murder cases he had been working on for 3 years when he glanced down at his phone and saw an email from an attorney for Governor Ron DeSantis. He said he was suspended from his job. Not long after, there was a knock at the door. An armed major from the county sheriff's office and a man in a suit from the governor's office carrying a copy of DeSantis' executive order suspending him were looking for him. He said, essentially, the governor has suspended you and you need to leave now. So within maybe 7 minutes from getting the email, I was outside on the street, Warren said. The major offered me a ride home because they took my car. From the Gulf Coast Radio News Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump says he declassified everything, so no harm, no foul. But the Biden administration is in obvious damage control over the botched raid where they seized the president's picture books, a handwritten note, and declassified documents. This is not unprecedented. This is not only unprecedented, but it's unnecessary. They're leaking lies and information. And I'll get more to the details of the Donald Trump side in a second. But it turns out that Judge Bruce Reinhart unseals Mar-a-Lago raid warrant and explains why it's investigating Donald Trump. Attorney General Merrick Garland said he personally approved the raid, but he doesn't say who gave him authority, etc., to do it. At the heart of it on the government's side is this. The 7-page warrant that authorized the FBI to search Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago was unsealed, and they say that it shows that Trump is under federal investigation for obstruction of justice and other alleged violations. Now, that's interesting, to say the least. That's not much. Now, they say three criminal statutes show the inquiry goes beyond classified information and that the former president is also suspected of obstructing a, quote, unidentified government effort. They say Trump is under investigation for alleged violation of 18 U.S.C. conceal, removement, or, quote, mutilation. And then they talk about of the Espionage Act, which means transmitting, gathering, alteration, falsification, etc. They say these statutes can lead to imprisonment and fines. Federal agents also took a set of, quote, alleged top secret documents, four sets of top secret documents, three sets of secret documents, and three sets of confidential documents. Now, the problem is Trump also wrote that former President Barack Obama kept 33 million pages of documents. How many of them pertain to nuclear? Anyway, now the government says, hey, Barack didn't take, well, they didn't say Barack didn't take documents. They say all of Barack's documents are accounted for. The Washington Post, citing unnamed sources, reported on Thursday that some of the documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the FBI's search. But Trump says it's a hoax and a continuation of the Russia collusion lies. Now, several GOP lawmakers have called on federal agencies to release the affidavit, which will provide more details about what the FBI was actually searching for and what justified the warrant. Well, they say criminal inquiry prompted the search of Donald Trump. But the problem is there's no criminal allegations so far. You say, what are you talking about, Sam? Well, it's alleged, right? They say none of the three, quote, potential crimes cited by the department relate to classified documents. But the problem that I have with this is all of this is alleged. Now, the other interesting that I find out about this is they say this following statement. In all their statements that sound pretty good on the government side, hey, there's nuclear documents, there's this, there's that, there's little words of innuendo that make you believe there's real criminal activity. But when you research the statements they have, they're very nuanced. Alleged crimes, suspected of, but no hard evidence. And since we don't have, in my opinion, the affidavit behind it all, we don't really have much. We just have this thing that says they have the right to search for all these so-called documents for so-called crimes. But they say the criminal inquiry. Now, I don't know how you call it a criminal inquiry, because if it's criminal, then we need to arrest Donald, don't we? But they say a criminal inquiry, now listen to this, prompted the search of Trump NYT. And in that story, it says this, quote, sections of the warrant and the accompanying inventory were reported earlier in the Wall Street Journal and in the New York Times, who obtained it as well before it was unsealed. What? What? How did these guys get a hold of it before it was released? Was criminal acts committed by the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times? That's really concerning to me. Now, they say the most informative and sensitive document is this affidavit, right? Because that's what really tells in detail what their, quote, justification was. They basically say, we'll probably never get that. It's unlikely to become public soon, if ever. Now, they use this espionage term, but they have no evidence, no facts, no documentation that points to any of this. They just allege all this. Dr. Bradley, I spend the time to kind of get people to understand, you couldn't have more differing narratives between the two groups of media and government. One says, hey, Donald's fine. He declassified it. It's all good. They're lying. The other one says, no, he's guilty of all kinds of things, to the point of nuclear documents being leaked, espionage. Hey, the former president could go to prison for a long time. Neither narrative, in my opinion, have a lot of facts on their side. Dr. Bradley.
You know, there's so many things we could talk about on this, and how, like, the USA Patriot Act, so-called. I do that because there's nothing patriotic about the USA Patriot Act. Packed back in 2001 in the, you know, the panic of the post 9/11 stuff, Again, I've studied it thoroughly and found that it eviscerates the Fourth Amendment. So absolutely, unequivocally, the Fourth Amendment really doesn't exist for all intents and purposes in the United States anymore, particularly when federal agents are involved. The Act requires judges to issue a search warrant or wiretap upon application of a federal agent. It doesn't require any of the specificity that the Fourth Amendment requires. And here's a statement that right from it. It says, upon application made pursuant to this section, the judge shall, that's an imperative, that means you don't have any say in it, enter an ex parte order. That means an order that's issued not with any other hearing or any other, the defendant doesn't get a say in it, anything like that. It's a single, solitary, closed session where they issue an order, an ex parte order as requested or as modified, approving the release of records if the judge finds that the application meets the requirements of this section. The requirement is you ask for it, okay? And that's all you've got to do, okay? So that idea of specificity, as absolutely required by the Fourth Amendment, has been set aside. We could give you lots of other examples, but they'll suffice for now. The point also that I guess I would like to make, time flies very quickly, but you've got to understand, people need to understand, that if you cry wolf often enough, you lose credibility. And this idea, it's hard not to have some sympathy for Trump's statement that it's a continuation of the witch hunt that was happening under the Russian dossier thing. They examined excruciatingly the evidence about that and found unequivocally it was a fabricated document paid for by an opposition party in order to help defeat Trump in his election. There was no evidence provided that there was any truth in this dossier. And so it was a nothing burger. It went away. And so now, when they're playing this same card over and over and over again, I mean, the card will be worn out. It has worn out in most Americans' minds, I believe. And the fact is that you have to say, wow, same game, whatever, just played over and over and over again until it's worn out. Now, that's exactly where I believe we are with this. And the fact that they have provided no evidence, the fact that it's issued ex parte, the fact that they probably judge-shopped to be able to get whatever they wanted on it. And in the Americanist philosophy, you're innocent until proven guilty. That's the whole concept behind it. And so we have basically weaponized a Justice Department, quote-unquote, because there is seemingly less and less justice available in this nation. And by the way, that's one of the problems is found in the Declaration of Independence. You couldn't get justice. And that was justification for overthrowing the tyrant that was currently in power, the king. So we have these kinds of things recurring in America that seem to be, it's a manifestation of what a deeply dark track we're on right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's very, very concerning in my opinion. We'll talk about it more with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds on your radio.
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, if we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So sections of the warrant and the accompanying inventory were reported by the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, who obtained them before they were unsealed. Is that criminal activity to obtain them before they're unsealed? And my question is, who allowed that to happen? How do they get that done? And is that criminal activity? And if they can obtain that before they're unsealed, what other things can the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal obtain? But it gets worse, because the justice's application for the warrant, it's called an affidavit, we don't have and we're not likely to get. Why isn't anybody calling for the release of that? Because that's where the real pay dirt probably is. Now, investigators, they say, have been concerned about material that included some information from what the government calls, quote, special access programs. That's a designation that's typically reserved for extremely sensitive operations carried out by the United States. So now we're going to go ahead and hide again with the affidavit not being released and then these, quote, special access programs. We don't have a clue, folks. We don't have any information at all. We just have that they raided Trump. They felt like it was necessary because Trump is guilty of espionage alleged and this and that and classified documents and nuclear this and that. And Donald points to Barack and says Barack did it too. And Trump now says FBI seized privileged records in raid and wants them immediately returned, the EpicTimes.com. So now Donald's saying they stole some of his records. Is there accountability for that? Donald says this, quote, oh, great. It has just been learned that the FBI, in its now, quote, famous raid of Mar-a-Lago, took boxes of privileged attorney-client material. And I need it back. He posted a Fox News article that then had anonymous sources on this. Where do we go with all that, folks? Where does this all lead? The answer is, in my opinion, it leads to tons of confusion and zero accountability, doctor.
There's a concept that we seem to have set aside largely in the United States about separation of powers. This executive branch and the legislative branch and the blending of the two. And the executive participates in it regularly. Trump has done probably almost as much as anybody else has in the past, where he creates law in his executive branch that's enforced as though it were law upon Americans. And by the way, that's how things transfer so quickly. When you change presidents, all of the unconstitutional, and I guess I can't make it that broad a statement, but so many of the unconstitutional acts of the previous president are unsigned, if you will, by the new president, who then claims to put other law into effect unconstitutionally. And this flopping back and forth is just a disaster for the separation of powers, as well as the concept of what we really are liable for to live by and the laws that are enforced upon the people, that being law that was created by legislature, that law which is within the bounds of the Constitution. Again, we've left all that aside. But what we're doing here is further obfuscating and destroying our constitutional government, which really, really is destructive. I guess I have to just parenthetically almost remark on these things of these major journals that have apparently had leaked to them things that were never unsealed until later, and they published them the greatest news out there, of course. And I have to wonder sometimes, wait. What happened with Assange and Snowden, those guys that published things that were brought into their hands by whatever means, and exposed sensitive operations that apparently we should, if we knew about them, have grave concern about things that were going on in our foreign policies, for example, the way we were waging war, the full force of the American military was being brought to bear on foreign civilians. I mean, these kinds of things, it's like, oh, no, now we're going to pursue Assange and Snowden to the nth degree until we've got them in prison forever and ever and ever, and the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times get a pass. There's clearly a big confusion as to what is going on, and if you're in power and you're the one that leaked it, it's okay, but if you're not in power and you didn't want it leaked and it somehow got leaked, now you're going to put the big hammer on somebody's head. So many of these things just reek of corruption. It absolutely reeks of it. And I think
they reek of corruption on both sides of the false narrative they're displaying here. If the tables were turned, it's Barack that's this, it's Biden that's that, and this and that, and the Republicans go. The problem is the Democrats go for broke, and the Republicans hold off. Now the Republican Party is divided on this. Now that the Justice Department and the FBI have come out with kind of the details alleging nuclear stuff and alleging espionage, a lot of the Republicans are backing off and tempering their statements. Now there's a divide in the Republican Party of how hard they even ought to go after this, Doctor. They've already backed off.
Well, duh. Has it ever happened otherwise with the Republicans? I think the Republicans fear governing. I think the Republicans have a death wish almost of becoming irrelevant. And therefore, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy by the way they use their opportunities to push back on things. You know, it's like, I'll give you an example. Back in the 1990s with the so-called assault weapons ban, I met shortly thereafter with one of Utah's House of Representatives member, Jim Hansen, and a senator, Orrin Hatch. And it was like, what the heck? And it was said a lot stronger than that. Do you guys think you're doing passing this? You know what their excuse was? Oh, we got the best we could. It's like, really? Really? You guys voted something because it's the best you could? Why do you vote for things that are clearly and plainly unconstitutional, like the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? And so what we have is these mamby-pamby, spineless Republicans that vote because it's the best they could get, instead of taking it to the mat and saying over our dead body, this will not happen on our watch. And so that's kind of the way the Republicans kind of play the game, and it almost seems like to them it is a game. And like I say, they're toying with irrelevance because they can't seem to ever govern based upon correct and sound principles. They seem to roll over at almost every turn. And so, you know, people that say, oh, man, we just got to get those Republicans back in office again. Oh, yeah? So what if we get Donald Trump's 18-point contract now, just like Newt Gingrich's contract with America, all of which is called into question because it's got to pass constitutional muster. It's got to fit the plain English words of the United States Constitution, and does it comply or not? And if it doesn't, you don't go down that path. So I don't know. I'm so frustrated with our current. And of course, the Founding Fathers felt very strongly that the party system would lead to corruption that ultimately undermined our constitutional government, and I'm fully convinced that we're there. By the way, parties do become irrelevant. Back in the 1850s, the Whig Party, a pretty powerful party up to that point, became irrelevant. The Republicans came in, and the basis of the establishment of the Republican was not soundly founded, and we could talk about that at great length someday. But they ultimately had the presidency within 5-6 years. And the Whigs went away. They went the way of the world. And so parties can become irrelevant. Now, I got to say that the Democrats also are toying with irrelevance in the fact that they've basically got a bunch of baboons that are running things that are so socialist in their nature that they've absolutely abandoned everything constitutional and Americanist, and they shout it from the rooftops every chance they get. And the partisanship currently is astounding, but neither party, to me, has demonstrated any value in terms of standing and upholding our liberty as a nation.
No, they haven't. So here's the point to make your point. Headline says this: Senator Chuck Grassley says the Senate will investigate FBI Trump raid if GOP takes majority. But my response to that is, if it's criminal activity, they can't just wait till and say we'll investigate it if we get elected, doctor. They're just using this for campaign raising, fundraising, campaign.
That's right. Rhetoric.
Rhetoric, yeah. This is bogus. If it's criminal, take action.
Yeah.
But Chuck Grassley, if this isn't as serious as you say, then wait till November. But if it is, you can't let the criminal just run around. Right?
No. The idea of the president enforcing the law, I mean, that's part of the oath he takes. It's right in his job description. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. And it's like they ignore them, whatever they don't want to. And by the way, that is a form of unconstitutional line item veto, where, you know, the president either signs or he doesn't sign. Read Article 7 of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution regarding the way the law program works, where you pass laws and you get them put into effect. There is nothing that says, okay, I'm going to line this out with a signing statement or something. I'm not going to enforce this, or we're going to ignore this law while we're in office or whatever. No. You either sign it or you reject it, and it's then either overridden or not. That's the way the process. Article 1, Section 7. Go read it. And most Americans don't understand that, but that's how they fulfill their oath of office, by ignoring huge swaths of the United States Constitution. And so if laws are being broken, they're violated, there's a criminal activity constitutionally. I mean, you look at the Fourth Amendment, as we say, that they completely ignore, and it should be carried out. No, they've weaponized the federal agencies according to who's in charge. And I fear that more and more federal agencies are being weaponized, whether it's the IRS or the BATFE or the Homeland Security people or whomever. It's like, no, there's nothing there that says they can do this. Nothing whatsoever. And St. George Tucker, again, I always introduce him as the preeminent constitutional scholar of the founding era, said that the Constitution carefully withheld from the general government any authority in terms of criminal law, except for those specifically mentioned in the Constitution. But we ignore that at every level, from domestic violence in the home to anything else that they decide they want to act on. And it's a violation. It's an absolute violation. And
but let's not for one second believe the Republicans and Donald have the moral high ground on this. Neither of them do. Look, the raid was wrong. The evidence should be delivered to the American people for the justification. If there's criminal activity, we can't wait till after an election. We can't use this for fundraising. We've got to take action on criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen. Either on Donald if he's a criminal, or under the other guys if they're criminals. But what we're saying is nobody's really a criminal, although we're going to throw fire on both sides claiming everybody's a criminal. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to happen to anybody as the government continues to violate the checks and balances that made her great. Don't accept it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stand up and hold them accountable, shall we? I pray we do. That's for sure. Dr. Bradley, we're flat out of time. Thank you so much, sir. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Dr. Bradley's website. Check out his incredible webinars and more. FreedomsRisingSun.com. God save the Republic.